Well, good morning to all of you. I'm going to ask you to please take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And that's where we're going to be studying from this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's wonderful to be here with you. Wonderful to study the Word of God with you. Wonderful to worship with you, especially if you are a guest of ours. Please make sure that if you are a guest, that you make sure you you stick around for a little bit afterward if that's convenient. We'd love to get to know you better and talk to you and learn more about your life and how we might help you as a church family here. I want to begin this sermon by making you feel really guilty, which I guess sounds really weird to our guests, but trust me, it's not that bad. I want to begin by making you feel really guilty. I want to ask you this question. Who of the parents here this morning, raise your hand if you've ever left your kids at the church building? Not just, man, that was fast for some people. Not all of them, but any one of them. Raise your hand, you ever left a kid at a church building, right? Okay, yeah. I don't know if that ever exactly happened to me. If it did happen to me, I blocked it out. So I think my parents got a perfect 100% on that. But maybe we should turn that around. Maybe we should ask the kids here, because maybe the parents forgot, okay? Maybe they blocked that out. As a kid, who was left at the church building by their parents? Very nice. It really happened to you, Clay? All right. I have to talk to John and Gina about that. This morning, I want to take a look at the book of Samuel. I want to read a story about a mom and dad who left their kid at the church building, except they did it on purpose. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read about the story of Elkanah and his wife, Hannah. And we read the story about how they dedicated their son Samuel to the Lord. Now, I'm sure many of you know the story of Hannah. I've preached on the story of Hannah since I've been here. But just as a quick refresher for those who may not know or may not be clear on exactly what happens in the story of Hannah. Hannah is a woman who's living in the time of Judges. And she is married to a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah has another wife named Peninnah. And Peninnah is able to have children. She's able to have a bunch of children. And Hannah, unfortunately, she's barren. And so she's unable to have any children at all. And so because of this distress, we learn in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11 that she reaches out to the Lord. She prays to the Lord that he will change this for her, that he will operate in her life and enable her to be able to have children. She says this, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and a razor shall never come on his head. So Hannah says, Lord, if you will give me a son, if you will give me a child, open up my womb, then I will make sure I give him back to you and he will serve you all the days of his life. The story continues. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 20, read with me there. It came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And so that's the wonderful thing about Hannah's story, is the Lord comes through for her and changes her circumstance and enables her to bear a son. And the story ends in chapter 1 by showing us that Hannah actually follows through on her promise. She doesn't take this blessing of a child and keep it for herself, but she actually follows through. And true to her word, she gives this child to the Lord. Verse 27, the Bible tells us as she's dropping her boy off, she says this, for this boy I prayed and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord there. And so Hannah drops her son off at the temple, leaves him at the church building, and goes home, allowing him to be dedicated to the Lord for all of his days. I love that phrase in verse 28. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Hannah promised the Lord, if you will fix this for me, I will give my son to you. And when that moment comes, she makes good on her word, leaves him at the temple, and dedicates him to the Lord forever. I love that word dedicate. It means to give something over, right? It means to give something over. So she says, Lord, you have given me this son, and now I am giving him over to you. He is yours forever. He's not mine anymore. He doesn't belong to me. He belongs to you first before he belongs to me. Hannah and Elkanah, they give their child back to God. And I think we should appreciate that that is the highest goal. That is the highest goal of any godly parent. The most important part, if I am a parent and I care about serving God, the most important part of being a parent is taking my kid and making sure that they're the kind of person who is dedicated to the Lord forever, for as long as they should live. My most important job is to make sure that I raise kids who are going to use their lives to serve their God. To give back to God the wonderful children whom he gave to me. As we read in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, that very famous passage where Paul tells the Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's our job as parents, to bring our children up, not in our own instruction, but in God's discipline and in God's instruction, so that they'll be useful instruments for him. Our job is to raise our kids to know what that little boy Jesus knew when he was 12 years old and he got left behind in Jerusalem at the temple. When he told his parents and he said to them, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? That's what we ought to do as parents. To raise our kids to know that it is their mission, their job, their primary goal in life to be in their father's house and to be about their father's business. That's the highest aim of godly parents, to dedicate our children to the Lord forever. And so the question this morning is not necessarily what is the goal, because we know what the goal is. And many of you have that heart, right? I want my kids to use their lives to serve God. I want them to be dedicated to the Lord forever. Many of you know what the goal is, but the question is, how do we do that? How do we operate as parents to give our kids back to God, to give them the best shot they possibly can to use their lives to serve their God? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. I want to look into the life of Elkanah and Hannah, and I want to observe what they did. I want to observe some things that they did that helped them give their kid back to God forever. We want to talk about what we can learn from them and what we can do. But before we do that, let me have a quick word. And let me just say that this lesson, it is primarily aimed at parents. But at the same time, I understand that we have many people in this auditorium, many people who are not parents right now and may not ever have the chance to be parents. But I want you to know that this lesson applies to you as well. This lesson is not just for people who have 3 or 4 year olds at home. This lesson is for anybody who has a relationship with a child. It's for anybody who loves a child. It's for grandparents. It's for aunts and uncles. It's for empty nesters. It's for Bible class teachers. It's for anyone who knows and loves little children. Because you in your life, you may not have the scope of authority that a parent has over a child, but you still make a difference. You still make a difference in the life of many children, those children that you have a relationship with. And so understand that we're aiming directly at parents this morning, but you can learn something too, even if you're not a parent today, about what you can do to help these little kids dedicate their lives to the Lord. And so what must we do to give our kids back to God? Appreciate this with me, first of all. This is the first observation I want to make. If we want to give our kids back to God, to inspire them to dedicate their lives to the Lord, the first thing we must do is we must put God's will above our dreams. If we want to dedicate our kids to the Lord, we must put our will above, we must put God's will above our dreams. That point could have gone really wrong really quick right there. You know, that's what Elkanah and Hannah did. They focused on what God wanted more than on what they wanted. You know, you read that prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. You read about what she said to God and what she actually prayed for. And when I read that, I am struck not only by what she says, I am struck by what is absent from her prayer. When she is talking about this child that she wants, this child that she wants God to give her so bad, you notice she's not focused at all on what that child is going to do for her. She's focused rather on what that child is going to do for the Lord as he grows up. She does not say, Lord, I want you to give me a child so that one day he can be a mighty warrior and he can fight your battles and he can bring a lot of honor and respect to my household in Israel. And she does not say, Lord, I want you to give me a son so that he can be a really hardworking farmer who works hard in the field and makes a productive crop to take care of our family. And she does not say, Lord, give me a son so that one day he can become a king or he can become a governor or a great official so that he can lift our family out of our place and give us a place of honor and wealth. So none of the things that she asks for in her prayer. Instead, what she asks for is a son that she can give back to God. She asks that God will give her a son so that she can give that son to God. She's not focused on her own dreams or what's good for her. She's focused on God's will. That matters more than her dreams, her wants, her desires. And I want you to recognize that when she receives that son, as we've already pointed out, she follows through on that promise. She follows through on the promise that she really will give him to God. And that says something about Hannah. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull and 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And notice what it says there at the end. Although the child was young. She brought him up to the Lord, although the child was young. That's the other amazing thing about Hannah. She brought her young boy back to the Lord. How easy would it have been to justify keeping Samuel around? After all, don't you think as a mother, that's what she would have preferred? You know, historians and commentators are a little divided about how old Samuel was, but most everybody agrees that by the time she brought this little boy and gave him away to the priest at the temple, he was between the ages of 3 and 5. That's when she brought him to the Lord and left him there. Guys, I don't know about you, but if I've learned anything in my years as a parent, 3 to 5, that's the sweet spot, right? That's where all the really fun stuff happens. That's where you get to enjoy all that really cool stuff. And that's when Hannah dropped her kid off. How many firsts did she not see? How many wonderful little conversations with her son did she miss? How many mispronounced words did she not get to laugh at? Surely, as a mother, her preference would have been to keep her son with her. Keep him in the house. Raise him herself. Enjoy all the wonderful little memories she could share with him. But her dreams and her pleasure was not the most important thing. More important than that was God's will for her son. And so rather than justify keeping him around, rather than saying, you know, this is my firstborn, I'll keep him. When I have my second child, I'll give him to God. She follows through on her word. She drops her young boy off. Her dreams, her pleasures, her joys took a backseat to the will of God. And I find that amazing. And I find that inspiring. Because one thing we must do as godly parents is make sure that we put God's will above our dreams. That's one thing we must do without question. You know, thankfully, we are not asked to do what Elkanah and Hannah had to do. We are not asked to give our children away to the purpose of God when they're 3 to 5 years old. We don't have to do that. But on the other hand, as we raise our kids, more seasoned parents understand it better than I do. There are some hard choices that we have to make. There are some sacrifices that we are called to make so that we can make sure that our children are dedicated to the Lord forever rather than going off into something else when they age. There are some sacrifices that we need to make, some ways in which we need to guide them so that they will be God's and they will use their life for God. Some hard choices we have to make. Between what my dreams are for them and what God's will is for them. Have you been watching the Olympics at all? Well, Lee and I have been watching a little bit of the Olympics. We really like to do that every year. And in every single Olympics, you'll notice, if you pay attention to it, there's always the sportscasters, the announcers, the journalists, they always like to hone in on these stories of the parents of the Olympians. Have you noticed that? And they always talk about these parents who, you know, they stuck next to their kid. And while their kid was swimming or doing gymnastics or doing whatever they're doing, they stuck next to them. They were in the gym with them. They were training with them. They were pushing them every step of the way. The parents were the ones who were getting the kids out of bed early in the morning to make sure that they could go to the gym and they could get everything done that they needed to get done so that one day they could be here at the Olympics, because this is what matters. And they talk about all the sacrifices that they make, all the hobbies that they gave up, all the time that they dedicated so that they could focus on this one mission: getting my kid to the Olympics. Have you seen those stories? And I think that's a great parallel. It's a great parallel to how we ought to be as godly parents. There's some sacrifices we're going to have to make. There's going to be some ways in which we need to push our kids. There's going to be some things, some events, some memories, some hobbies that we are going to have to give up, that we're going to have to sacrifice, and we're going to have to lay on the altar. There are going to have to be some dreams and some pleasures that we're going to have to forego to make sure that my child is raised to be somebody who serves God. I don't know what those sacrifices look like in your life. And honestly, I'm not quite sure what they're going to look like in my life as a parent going forward. But I know that today my determination should be that in everything, I'm going to put God's will for my child above my dreams for my child. That's what we must do to give our children back to God. Let me say this secondly, though. That if we're going to give our kids back to God, this is an obvious one. We must give ourselves to God first. If we're going to give our kids back to God, we must give ourselves back to God first. You know, I've always been impressed by the spirituality of Elkanah and Hannah. They're amazing people to me. Not because they really do anything that spectacular or outlandish, but mostly because of the time in which they live. Elkanah and Hannah, they live in the time of the Judges, by the way. Chad Durrell's class on the Judges, starting this evening at 5:00. Make sure you're there for that. It should be a good class. But we know that in the time of the Judges, it's famously known as the time as what? As when people did what? What was right in their own eyes, right? That's what we know as the time of Judges. It was a time when everybody did what was right in their own eyes, which meant that a lot of people just did a whole lot of evil stuff. It's a time of darkness. It's a time of wickedness in Israel. And yet during this time, here's Elkanah and Hannah, two very spiritual, godly servants. We learn from their story, and in chapter 1, it tells us that they went and they offered sacrifices. They sacrificed, they worshiped God the way that they were supposed to. And we know that when they made a vow to God, they were serious about keeping it. Hannah shows us that. And even her husband Elkanah makes sure when Hannah decides to stay behind, when Samuel is 1 year old, she decides to stay behind and wean him and help him grow up a little bit before she gives him away to take care of him. And Elkanah makes sure he tells his wife, he says, you can stay behind, but you make sure you stay true to your vow. They cared about the promises they made to God. And we read later in their story in chapter 2 that even after this trend continued. This wasn't just a very spiritual season in their life where they really did good and then they fell off the wagon later. No, they continually served God, sacrificed, and did what was right. As Samuel aged, they continued to come back and sacrifice and worship God. Elkanah and Hannah gave themselves to God. And that's a simple point to make, like I said, but it's absolutely vital. It's very important for us to think about that if we're going to raise kids who serve God, then we need to serve God first. If we're going to give our kids back to God, then we need to give ourselves to God first. Can I ask you this simple question? I just want to lay this on your heart today. What do your children see in you? What do your children see in you? And maybe this is a point where we can extend it out a little bit to people who are not just parents, right? What do your grandkids see in you? What does your niece or your nephew see in you? What do the students in your Bible class see in you? What are the little children running around, crawling on the stage like ants after church? What do they see in you as maybe not even their parent, but as a church member here? What do they see in you? Do they see someone who has given themselves to God? Do they see in you a deep devotion to righteousness? A deep devotion to righteousness, that you care about doing what's right, and that while you may stumble, you may fall, you care. You try to do better. You try to be righteous with everything that's in you. You want to do the right thing. Do they see that in you? Do they see in you that you have a commitment to prayer and to Bible study, that you trust God, that you lean on Him, you pray to Him, and you care about what He says, and you read it, you study it diligently? Do they see in you a dedication to worship? That when we come together, when we assemble, you sing out. You focus your mind on the God that you're serving, the God that you're praising, the God that you adore. Do they see in you when you sing and when you pray that you truly do love God, that you truly do mean what you say? Do they see a dedication to worship? And do they see a tight bond with your church? Do they see a tight bond with your church family? You care about them. You're here for them. You love them. You bear their burdens. What do your kids see in you? We need to remember, brothers and sisters, that children are not going to be won by half-hearted Christianity. Our children are not going to be won by box-checking Christianity. Our children are not going to be won by two-faced Christianity. You know, giving my kids back to God and giving myself to God, that means more than just showing up here and sitting in a pew. It means more than just making sure I'm here on time at 5 o'clock to take them to Bible classes, although that's important. It's more than that. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a Sunday through Saturday thing. It's an everyday thing. It's my kids need to see that every day of my life, I have truly been converted to Christ. I have truly given my life to Him. I truly listen to Him. I don't cut corners in my Christianity, but I really am devoted to Him entirely. And when I give myself to God like that, my children will notice. The children that you love will notice. And that will inspire them to do the same thing with their lives. You want to give your children back to God, give yourself to God first. And let me say this finally. If we really want to give our children to God, then we need to make sure that we make them little robes. That's what Hannah did for her son. The wonderful thing about Hannah's story is that Hannah didn't have to say goodbye to him forever. is that every single year she would go back to offer sacrifices in Shiloh, and she would get to see her little boy serving there once again with the priests. Actually, just had a great idea. If you want to make sure people come back to worship, all we got to do is keep their kids, right? There's a good idea. Hey, you want your kids back? Come back at 5, right? That's a great idea. Let's do that. But that's what she did. Every single year, she got to come back and worship the Lord, and she got to see her son. And the precious part of this story is that every year when she visited, she would bring him a little robe. That's what you see in 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2, verses 18 through 19, it says this: Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She would bring him a little robe. Now, what you need to know about that is that as a boy, Samuel was not serving God as a full-fledged priest. He wasn't ready for that. He wasn't at that point quite yet. He was merely a servant to the priests. And those robes that she made for him, those robes, that was the attire of a priest. That's what the priests wore. And so Samuel, even before he is a priest, he is wearing the attire of a priest. What an amazing lesson there is in that. Because what these robes did is they reminded Samuel who he was and what had happened to him. These little robes reminded Samuel of who he was supposed to become. They were a reminder that he had been dedicated to God, that he was intended to be a priest like Eli. Hannah made sure that Samuel knew who he was and what he was and what he was supposed to be one day. She brought him little robes. And I think that's a great way for us to remember, a great piece of advice for us as godly parents and as people who love these little children. If we want to give our kids back to God, if we want to inspire them to use their lives to serve God, then we need to spend some time making them some little robes. And what I mean by that is to do for them exactly what Hannah did. Samuel wasn't a priest yet, but what Hannah did, she looked into the future and she thought, this is what my boy is supposed to be. This is what he's going to be. This is where I want him to be. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to prepare him for who he's going to be. I'm going to remind him who he ought to be in the future. I'm going to do things for him right now, give him something right now that will prepare him for who he ought to be in the future. What a lesson that is for us. All we must do if we want to make little robes for our children is we need to look to the future and we need to think, who do I want my children to be? What will God call them to be one day? And what can I give them now to prepare them for that day? You know, one day, your child is going to need to be a prayer. They're going to need to be the kind of person that prays to God and asks for God's help, that does not depend or lean on their own strength, but depends on God's strength. One day they need to be a prayer. So what can you do right now to weave that little robe and get them ready for when one day they need to be a person who prays? And one day your child needs to be a worshiper, somebody who offers God the fruit of their lips and truly adores God in song, praises him fervently. So what can you do to them today? What can you do for them today to prepare them to be a true worshiper? One day your children are going to be called to be a servant. They're going to be called to serve their family. They're going to be called to serve other people. They're going to be called to serve their spouse. What can you do today to weave that little robe, to help them prepare to be a servant? One day, God's going to call your child to be a fisher of men. as every Christian is called to do, right? We are called to go out into the world and seek and save the lost, just like Jesus did. One day, your child needs to be an evangelist, somebody who goes out there, spreads the good news, and tries to bring other people to him. So what can you do right now? What can you do today to get your child ready to be a fisher of men when they get older? If we want to give our kids back to God, then we ought to give them what they need now to prepare them for that day. And so we need to think about that. What little robes can we weave today? This story of Samuel is actually a great indication. It's a great fulfillment of that wonderful old proverb. And in Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 6, where Solomon says, there we go. My screen froze. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. As Samuel was being raised year after year, he got a little robe. And as he grew and became older, he became the priest his mother always knew he would be. And he became an icon in Israel, a spiritual icon. He became such an important figure, somebody who turned the hearts of the people back to God, somebody who anointed King Saul, somebody who anointed King David, and prepared his people to serve their God. His mother began that by bringing him year after year little robes. What little robes can you weave today? Brothers and sisters, our children are blessings from God. And like Samuel's parents, we must think, we must focus, we must do everything we can to give back to God the children that he's given to us. And we do that, brothers and sisters, by putting God's will for them above our dreams for them. We do that by making sure they see that we've given ourselves to God first. And we do that by day in and day out, weaving little robes for them to prepare them for service in his kingdom. Let us make sure we're not slack about the children who've been entrusted to our care. But let us make sure we prepare them to be wonderful servants of God. We prepare them to be dedicated to the Lord forever. Let's do that as parents. And let's do that as anybody who loves these little children here in this place. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and your concern is not primarily... It's not primarily for little children. Your concern this morning is primarily for yourself because you have not yet dedicated yourself to the Lord forever. The Bible tells us that's something that every person should do. It's something that you can do. And it's not something that you have to wait 18 years to do. It's something that you can do right now. This morning, the Bible tells us that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we're willing to confess that belief before men and repent of the sins that we've committed that caused Jesus to go to the cross, then we can be baptized in water to have our sins washed away, can rise to walk in newness of life, rise to walk as people who've been dedicated to the Lord for the rest of our lives. And those who've given themselves to God in this way possess a wonderful hope to spend eternity with him. If you want that hope, if you need to give yourself to God today, then we invite you to come to the front. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing. Oh,